Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, welcome to the College Audition Podcast. My name is Tim Evanicki, and I am here with Kevin Covert from Shenandoah. He is the director of musical theater there. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
You are my guinea pig. You're our first episode of the College Audition Podcast, so thank you so much for agreeing to do that. We want to get to know all about you and your program today. So if you want to get started by just telling us a little bit about your background and the series of events that led you to becoming the director of musical theater at Shenandoah.
Sure. I spent most of my life as a professional actor in New York City. I got my music theater degree. I was a BFA music theater kid myself. I got my degree from Florida State in Tallahassee. Spent most of my life in New York City. I was in the original cast of three Broadway shows. I was in the original cast of Spamalot, was my Broadway debut. And then I was in the original cast of Memphis, and then the most recent revival of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, which starred a whole slew of people, Daniel Radcliffe, and then Darren Criss and Nick Jonas. I also spent a lot of time in New York as an associate. It's something that I knew that I really wanted to delve into. So I worked alongside Chris Catelli a lot. He's one of my favorites. Chris won his Tony Award for Newsies. I worked with him on the production of South Pacific at Lincoln Center, and also on this wonderful show called Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas with the Jim Henson Company. And after How to Succeed closed, I think, you know, my agent called me and was sort of like, you know, here are these auditions coming up. And I was like, I was like, I think I need a moment to like sort of reassess and like figure out who I want to be now. And you know, I'd been in New York for a long time and been very lucky in my career. And I always knew, I think even back in the recesses when I was at college, I always knew that at some point I would teach. So I sort of took a step back from performing and I sort of started teaching around the country. Sort of being a guest here and there. I actually got to go back to FSU for part of a semester to be a guest artist, which was really eye-opening. It was really kind of solidified my desire. And then strangely, a friend sent me a link, like in a text to a job, and I opened it and it was the job at Shenandoah. Now, that wouldn't seem odd except for the fact that I actually grew up where Shenandoah is. Like, I'm from the area where Shenandoah is. And when I graduated here many moons ago, I swore I'd never come back. You know, like small town boy, getting out, I'm going to make it big. And I was like, wow. So, but, you know, many years later, it becomes something different. It's sort of like, oh, my family's still there. What an amazing program. I sort of started researching the program. And my God, I think I could really make a difference there. And so I applied for the job. And this is my fifth year at Shenandoah as the director of MT.
Wow. And as director of musical theater, there's a lot of administrative stuff that you have to do there as well. But what classes do you actually teach?
Yeah, I teach several classes. I teach a new class that we started this year called Freshman Connection. We sort of realized that the freshmen weren't getting their core group of teachers until later in the curriculum, and we wanted to do something about it. We also wanted to develop a class that sort of stressed team building right from the get-go. So I teach Freshman Connection alongside the core MT team at Shenandoah, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. Matt Edwards and Patrick Brady. Edry Weekly teaches a voice style part of it. And then Shiloh Martinez, who's our director of dance. I teach a sophomore acting class called Acting Through Song, which focuses on scene study in musical theater with duets. We also do a lot of audition technique in that class, monologue work, contemporary scenes, golden age scenes. And this semester, of course, we're adding, you know, the old self-tape and an audition sort of, you know, part of that. Junior year, I dive into Uta Hagen with the juniors, and we do a class called Roles, where they select different roles. For example, if you selected Oscar from Sweet Charity, you would be required to sing his big song. You have to sing one of their main solos, and then you can do something else. You can do a scene, you can do a group number as long as the character is the focus. You can do another solo, you can do a duet, a trio. And we sort of use Uta Hagen's six steps to sort of talk about developing character. And then senior year, I teach a showcase class, which is all about prep for the agents and the casting directors and the New York showcase. So
awesome.
I sort of get to touch you every year, which is nice.
Oh, that's great. That is good, because like you said, a lot of times the freshmen are, you know, they don't meet the big names that in many cases they chose the college because they get to work with those people and they don't actually get to see them for the whole first
right.
year. So that's great. So
yeah.
This is sort of an interesting way of asking this question, but, you know, give me the elevator pitch, the elevator speech for your program. What are the things, you know, in your own words, describe the program
sure.
for us.
You know, what I think of our program and what we sort of developed it into the last 5 years is innovative, forward thinking. We like to say we have our finger on the pulse. And I say that because in the time that I've been here, the hires we've made have been predominantly people who have had amazing careers, that have been Broadway veterans. Patrick Brady, our music director, is kind of a Broadway icon. I mean, he was the original music director and conductor of The Producers and Young Frankenstein, Fosse, about 12 other Broadway shows.
Yeah.
People that have had amazing careers and know what it takes to have amazing careers, sort of have our finger on the pulse of what's going on. You throw in Matt Edwards, who's the head of our music theater voice department, and Matt sort of understood a trend that was happening over a decade ago, which was like, oh my God, all these rock stars and pop stars are writing Broadway musicals. That's a different kind of singing. That's a different sustainable kind of singing. So he did a lot of research and sort of trained himself, and he's kind of, you know, the guru of it. You know, he's sort of like the guy who wrote the book, because he did write the book.
He did, literally.
Literally. And so I think what's really important to us is that Shenandoah is really good about letting our curriculum be always changing, right? We just did some curricular changes last year. We want to make sure that we're training people for careers now, you know, so we really have our finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I think the other added bonus of all of these amazing Broadway veterans, and it just doesn't stop at Shiloh and Patrick and I, Mary Robert on our dance faculty, she's amazing. Scott Hudson, who teaches our Meisner sequence, is a member of the Labyrinth Theater Company in New York. Nancy Anderson is on our voice faculty, big Broadway gal, Nancy. Beverly Jenkins, who's the current PSM of Hadestown, teaches stage management. I mean, we're really trying to like move the program into that sort of, we want New York or industry-driven students. So I think those are some cool things about our program mixed with this amazing sense of care that Shenandoah has. There's a wonderful initiative here called Being Well Together. And I think I would even venture to say that I'm just as interested in your mental and physical health as I am in you becoming a better actor, singer, and dancer. I want to produce great artists who are also great citizens of the world and healthy citizens of the world. So that's kind of what I think is special about Shenandoah.
Yeah, I say that a lot to my students as well, that the schools are looking for kids, not just that are great performers, but you're not just auditioning for the program. I tell them you're auditioning for the role of student they can stand to be around for the next 4 years.
And vice versa. I mean, I always say in auditions, like, we have this finite period of time where we get to decide if we want to be around each other for 4 years. So,
right. And
you got to do your research.
And that goes beyond school, too. When you're out in, you know, auditioning for shows and auditioning for jobs, you got to make sure that you're likable and knowledgeable of the craft that you're going into and applying for, not just a great singer and a great actor and a great dancer. So
absolutely.
Finger on the pulse of what's happening in the industry right now. You mentioned some really great some great faculty and some new hires and things that you've brought in there. What other opportunities do they have to sort of keep up to date with what's going on in New York as far as classes or other opportunities there?
Sure, sure. We have a great class called Preparation for the Theater Profession, which sort of gives you everything from building your resume and your website to how do I do my taxes as an actor to, you know, how do I network? What are things that I can do, you know, once I leave the hallowed halls of a university setting to sort of help myself? This year in my classes, I also started adding, we do a wonderful, in the spring of your senior year, we do a wonderful masterclass series with New York casting directors and talent agents. We bring about 12 to 14 talent agents and casting directors to our campus to do about 4-hour long masterclasses with the seniors. This way the seniors each get individual time with them. They get to go through the materials, talk about who they are in the industry. It's proven very successful in terms of like our students signing with agents. We probably have like an 80-85% rate of students signing with agents just that way. And then the undergraduates also get to observe those, and there are normally Q&As at the end. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing we do in the spring. And this year I started noticing, you know what? It's great that they do it with the seniors, but wouldn't it be great if these agents and casting directors were getting to know the younger people? So in my classes, I've also started doing agent and casting director workshops with the undergrads as well. So that's really cool. We just implemented a wonderful new program called the Shenko New Works Incubator. And what that is we're pairing with a producer in New York City who is working with up-and-coming composers and that are writing new musicals that they're trying to get workshopped or worked on. And we select, this year we did two, actually. We select them. It's sort of like it's the equivalent of what would be a New York staged reading. You know, we rehearse them for 3 weeks. You know, the authors come and work with the kids. They throw out songs. They give them new songs. It's a way for them to sort of hear their work and also for our students to get to work on new work, because yeah, you never know who the next Rodgers and Hammerstein are going to be, right? And then it's also cool, we have a really wonderful state-of-the-art recording studio at Shenandoah. So at the end, they go into the recording studio to record a demo that now the authors have to shop the musical around with. And it's also a great way for us to give new voices a chance. You know, I mean, I love musicals. I mean, I've lived my life doing them, but you know, a lot of them are written by old white guys, right? So it's also a chance for us to, you know, find some materials that aren't. And we're actually working, currently we start next week actually on a new show called Bloom, which takes place in the Flower Kingdom. And it was written by a black man. And we're really excited to bring him to our campus to work with students and to sort of give more voice to people that haven't had a voice in this industry. So that's a really cool thing that our students get to do, because I think for my money and all the years I was in New York City, I mean, I did, I don't know how many readings, staged readings and workshops, too many to count. Some were amazing, like Memphis. I did Memphis. I developed Memphis for 5 years. Some I probably don't want to ever remember. But nonetheless, it's so important to have that skill set to be able to like think on the fly. Oh my God, here's a brand new song for a leading lady that, you know, you have to sing tomorrow because we've just added it in. So I love the New Works Incubator. It's probably one of the things I'm most excited about at Shenandoah.
Wow, that's really incredible. That's a really great opportunity for them. And like you said, they get to meet possibly the next Rodgers and Hammerstein. They get to meet, you know, make those connections while they're still in school. And I tell my kids that a lot too, you know, look and see what connections you're going to make while you're still there. What connections the faculty has when you're selecting a school. You know, if the faculty is just teaching at the university and not doing anything else outside or doesn't have those active contacts, they're really your first connections to the industry will be the faculty and who they bring in. So that's a really great opportunity for them. You mentioned in passing that about 85% of your kids get signed to agents, you said? And is that
that's
through your...
Been our... I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's through your showcase? Through your showcase?
That has been through our masterclass series of bringing people to campus and, you know, like doing that since I've been here.
Oh.
Now, this would, before the world changed, this was actually going to be our first foray into the New York showcase circle. But we didn't want to give that up. So we are actually working with Rachel Hoffman from Telsey and Justin Bohan, who's a Broadway actor and also a casting director. They're helping develop our showcase, which then will be farmed out virtually this year to all of the agents as well. So the goal is we want to do both, Tim, because I want to see what works. I mean, my main goal is to get my students seen or signed, right?
Right.
At least seen by casting director or signed to help start their careers. If we find that doing a New York showcase gets us 100% of kids signing, then we'll go that way. If we find that not as many are, but the masterclass series is doing it better, we'll go back to more of those. I think there'll always be some sort of a hybrid moving forward. I just don't know if the New York showcase is as successful as I hope it will be, if we'll bring in less people to campus because, you know, things are expensive, obviously. New York things are expensive, but I think we're going to spend the next 3 or 4 years figuring out what's best for the kids and then go from there.
That's an interesting point that you brought up about the showcases changing and doing a possible virtual this year. Like, I wonder, so many schools that don't do the New York showcases always cite the cost of doing it. And then, you know, it's impossible to bring all those agents and casting directors to campus for the same reason, the cost. So I wonder if now that we've all realized that this online virtual audition thing isn't as bad as we all feared it was going to be, if there's going to be more showcases that happen virtually.
I really wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I always make the joke that back in the covered wagon days when I was an MT, you know, there were only 5 schools that did showcases. Mm-hmm. Now there are tons. Even if it is live, it's virtually impossible for all of the casting directors and agents to get to them just by the nature of how many there are. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised if we see it sort of leaning towards this sort of virtual, because I think there's going to be a virtual aspect to all of this moving forward. I don't think there's ever going to be anything that compares with a live audition, but I think there are going to be elements of it for sure that we're going to see sticking around.
And we're going to talk more about auditions later, but do you see the virtual audition option sticking around for Shenandoah in the coming years, or to be determined?
I mean, I think TBD. It's so interesting. I just thought of it right as you were saying that. I was like, God, are we going to do virtual next year? I don't know. I mean, that's certainly something for us as we get to the end of this audition cycle to sit down and say, you know, especially for students that might not have the means to travel. Because it's, you know, listen, I mean, I grew up in a single parent household. I can't imagine what my poor mother would have had to have done to get me to all of the school that you have to get to now. So I think we would probably hopefully have some sort of a virtual, yeah. But we haven't discussed it yet, so I can't say.
No, of course.
I would imagine.
Of course. It's so expensive. I mean, the process certainly, doing it virtually this year certainly broke down the wall, the financial wall for so many families. I mean, just the fact that there are great organizations out there like the Fund for College Auditions and things that, I mean, there's nonprofits set up to help kids pay for the college audition process. I mean, sort of speaks to how expensive the whole thing is. But on the other side, I feel like there's so many missed opportunities for the students this year, unfortunately, because of the connection that happens in the room. And I just know, looking at my students from year to year, that some of the responses and that I'm getting this year for some of the kids were surprises to me. I mean, I'm always, I think I have a pretty good idea of what kids are able to get into as far as the schools. I wonder how many surprises there's going to be for the schools when they meet these kids for the first time in person. Wonder if that will then change their minds later again about the virtual process. But there's certainly two sides to that sword. We'll have to wait and see. But we're all very good at it now. We're all very good at the virtual college audition thing now. So we'll have to see, I guess.
Absolutely.
Let's chat a little bit about performance opportunities at Shenandoah. Let's start with freshmen. Do freshmen get the opportunity to perform?
Yes, at Shenandoah, it's all 4 years you have the opportunity. You're also required to audition for both musicals and plays. Everyone has to audition for everything. We do a 6-show conservatory season, an official conservatory season, 3 musicals, 3 plays, 2 main stage musicals, 1 black box musical, or 2 main stage musicals, 1 incubator show, and then 3 plays, normally 1 in the black box. I'm sorry, 1 on main stage, 2 in the black box, or 1 in the black box, and then the incubator switches between play and musical every year. So it just depends on the year what that 6th slot is. But in addition to that, we have a professional equity guest artist summer stock called SSMT that students are not required to audition for, but we've certainly encouraged them to do it. At least 1 summer, I would like for them to have that opportunity. But then I also want them to go to the Muni and CLO and all of those other amazing summer stocks as well. We also have an abundance, an amazing amount of student organizations. We have one called the Hornet's Nest, which is a completely student-run theater organization. And when I say completely, I mean raising the money for the rights, getting the rights, sets, lights, costumes, marketing, directing, choreographing, casting. It's a completely student run. They do 2 shows a year. And we actually just renovated a space for them. So they actually have their own theater called the Hal Herman Lab Theater.
Wow.
It's a shared space with all of the student groups. But so there's the Hornet's Nest. That's a student-run group. We have a Shakespeare troupe called Shut Up, It's Shakespeare. And they do two Shakespeare pieces a year. We have probably our most popular student group is called Playwrights. And they meet every Thursday night at 11 p.m. And it's a brand new short play written, directed, produced, acted in by students. We have an improv comedy team called The Loaf, and 2 years ago they were the national champions of college improv. We have a choreography troupe called Surreal. They meet every Saturday to work on different styles of choreography. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of them, but I mean, there's so many. In addition to the six shows we do in the conservatory season, there's tons of opportunities to perform in all of these student groups as well.
Those student-run performances, or any of the performances, I guess, are they open school-wide, or are they just for theater major?
Technically, they're open school-wide, but I would say 99% of the people that audition for them are the theater majors.
And that goes for the six that you talked about that are school productions, plus they're technically open school-wide, everything is. Great.
Technically, they're open school-wide, but we rarely, rarely get, and I don't know why, but maybe it's just not on people's radar, but every now and again, someone will walk in, I'll be like, who's that?
Yeah. It just dawned on me that we actually never answered the question of what degrees do you offer in theater and musical. That's a big question that we probably should have covered first, and well, I just assume everyone knows.
Yeah. Well, I'm the director of musical theater, so we have a BFA in musical theater. We also have a BFA in acting, and then we have a BFA in technical design and production, which you can get six different degrees in. Let's see if I can get them. You can get your BFA in stage management and technical direction, costume design, lighting design, set design, and we're just adding sound design. Next year, we're hiring a sound person. So those are the degree tracks. We do not have master's programs. So our students actually get to, our BFA students, our technical students get to design shows, you know, get to design sets, get to design costumes, lights, things like that. It's also kind of cool at Shenandoah in that you don't pay by credit hour, you pay a flat tuition, and that entitles you to take up to 18 and a half credits a semester. Now, most of your credits that you're going to need for your degree are around 15 credits, 16 some semesters. So you have these extra credits to play around with. So that means two cool things. One, you can get a minor in something. The most popular minor is probably in dance, because the students want to take more dance classes and then more dance history and things like that. And I'll get into the curriculum in a second. But we also have this really cool one-year master's degree. It's a master's in performing arts leadership and management. And if you get into that program, your junior and senior year, you start using those extra credits to take courses towards this master's degree. Then you get your BFA, you go off to pursue your Broadway dreams, and the entire fifth year of the master's is online. So you can be in New York auditioning, doing what you need to do. And the only thing you have to come back to Winchester for is to get your diploma. So it's a kind of a cool thing. I think we're the only school that offers that, and a lot of our MTs take advantage of that program.
Wow, that's a really great opportunity. Are there non-BFA, are there BAs?
We do not have a BA program at this moment in time. It's been a big discussion about sort of having some sort of a BA program, because a lot of times, you know, you're 18, 17 when you enter college. Sometimes by your junior year, you're like, you know what, I'm actually really more interested in producing or marketing or something. And so we've discussed sort of having a degree that would be sort of more of a generalized theater degree that would sort of focus on people that want to be involved in the theater but might not want to perform. It has not happened yet. We were really in lots of discussions about it before the pandemic. So I imagine that once things settle down, we'll start picking up those conversations again.
Yeah. How about any notable alum? You mentioned a bunch of really notable faculty, which is incredible. But yeah, touch on the star power of Shenandoah.
Sure. We have, one of the very first people I ever recruited was a wonderful guy named Roman Banks. And Roman was here at Shenandoah when he got the opportunity to be the first Black Evan Hansen on Broadway. So he left us to do that, and now he's on High School Musical, the musical, the series, season two. That's a mouthful.
It may surprise you, but I've missed that so far.
God, I think that's the name of it. His character starts in season two, which I think just started. We have the wonderful Garrett Long is an alumni. Garrett was the original lead in the Spitfire Grill. She was the original Percy in Spitfire Grill. Kathy Voitko, who was one of Hal Prince's Avas in Evita on one of the tours. J. Robert Spencer, he was nominated for a Tony for Next to Normal. He was the dad in Next to Normal. He was also one of the original Jersey Boys. Jessie Hooker Bailey is making quite a name for herself in New York right now. She just closed Waitress. She was in Beautiful. Oh my gosh, there are so many. I mean, there's a whole list, I think, on our website of like all the alum that are working and on Broadway. The list goes on, and we're super proud of them. Off stage, we have Jenny Ravitz, who is one of my favorite human beings. Jenny's a casting director for Jonathan Strauss Casting. She casts all of the Dick Wolf shows, you know, Law and Order, things like that. So pretty much every time you turn on your television and watch a Dick Wolf show, there's probably a Shenandoah alum on there. Lots and lots of wonderful alumni. Like, it's just getting better and better. Like, as we see our students leaving here and booking national tours and, you know, rowing on Broadway. And I have, before the pandemic hit, two of my now current seniors were deep into final callbacks for new Broadway shows. You know, it's like, it's very exciting, the things that are happening. Yay.
Good. And you mentioned the name of the town. You're in Winchester. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Winchester. When kids leave campus, what exciting things does Winchester have for them?
Well, Winchester, besides being where I'm from, is also the home of country music legend Patsy Cline. She grew up here. It's a small town. Like, Winchester is not a big metropolis, but there is so much to do here. First of all, because we're a conservatory, I call it all singing, all dancing, all acting all the time. There's very little time to do anything else but sleep because the training is pretty intense. But we're right in the middle of the Shenandoah Valley. There are amazing hikes around here, caverns to explore, lots of lakes and rivers, things like that. The upside of that, I wouldn't call it sleepy, but it's definitely not like, you know, New York City where, like, you know, 2 a.m. in normal times, like, everything's going. But the cool thing is we're about an hour and 15 minutes from D.C. So just a short drive and you're in the heart of it all there. We have a wonderful initiative called Capital Performances, where we buy tickets to things that are in D.C. in normal times. We get on a bus. We go to D.C. We saw the out-of-town crowd of Beetlejuice. We saw the out-of-town crowd of Mean Girls. Sort of our students are constantly going into D.C., you know, to the museums, things like that. And then we're about 4.5 hours from New York. So it's not out of the realm of possibility if they do have a callback for something or need to get to New York that they can do it. It's a long day, but, like, I've seen them do it. So, it's kind
train?
Of the best of both worlds. You could go to D.C. and either take the bus or the train. Or you could drive. It's about 4.5 hours. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can sort of get this nice college town feel, very safe, very, very safe, wonderful environment here. And then, but you're close to, you know, you're close to D.C. So,
oh, that's cool. Awesome.
It also makes it that makes it easy for us to do that masterclass series I was talking about, because sometimes I can bring an agent down, you know, on a Monday morning. They do their workshop from 3 to 7 and then they go back to New York. You know, they don't have to miss, you know, days of work either. So that's been kind of beneficial, I think.
What's the nearest airport? Is it DC?
Dulles would be the closest. DC. Dulles is about 45 minutes and Reagan DCA is about an hour and 20 minutes.
We're going to book a bunch of on-campus workshops for the fall. So maybe I'll reach out to you and bring some kids up there.
Absolutely.
As long as it wasn't like a 2-hour drive to the nearest airport, then...
No. If you can get to Dulles, I can get you here.
All right. let's change gears and talk about auditions a little bit. First of all, how was your audition season in this new world this year?
I was scared to death of it. At first, because of what you were saying earlier, I was like, God, am I going to get to know who these kids are? Are they going to get to know who we are? But it actually turned out much better than I had anticipated. I mean, with the occasional, you know, crash of the accepted platform or something. but for the most part, it went well. I was expecting kind of a downtick, and we didn't get a downtick. We got an uptick even. And I think in hindsight, it's because, as you said, people weren't having to travel to New York and Chicago and to 12 different campuses. So we saw probably close to 1,400 pre-screens and people we saw at workshops and private auditions and things like that. We tried to narrow that down, but we did narrow it down. We actually did 11 full audition days, which is the most we've ever done.
Good for you.
Right. So live, we probably saw, after we eliminated pre-screens, and I'm going to guess somewhere around 375, 400, which is more than we normally see. I think we normally see around 275 to 300 live. We just finished that the end of February. We did make our offers. We made those last week. We got a little bit of a late start because we didn't come back to school till February 1st because our president wanted to sort of give, you know, a little bit more of a breathing room to see what was happening with the pandemic. But we did make our offers last week. We aim for a class size of 18. I've yet to hit that number on the nose. I normally get between 20 and 22. You obviously always accept more than you're going to yield. People are going to get other offers. Or at a young man 2 years ago that decided he wanted to be a doctor instead of a music theater major. And I was like,
can't say no to that.
I was like, you went through this entire process to decide you wanted to be a doctor. Go be a doctor. So, you know, we aim for a class size of 18. And I think financial aid packages just went out today. So, you know, the fun will really start in a few days.
Oh, I know. I think my cell phone, I think I've missed about 20 text messages just since we started, because I know offers are going out today for a lot of schools.
Good.
So the questions I'm getting, and just because this is super fresh on my mind, because parents have asked me this probably 5 times today, you just mentioned, you know, we accept X number of students hoping to net 18. Just can you talk a little bit more about what that process is like and how you run your wait list well?
We call it priority hold. Thank you to my dear friend, Caitlin Hopkins. I think I hate the word wait list, like I'm waiting for something. Because it's really not. I mean, it took us about, this year, probably about 6 hours to, like, once we had it narrowed down to probably about 110 kids we had in our pile, we got to get this down to about 45, 50, something, somewhere in between there, between 40 and 50. You know, one thing I think it's important for everyone to know is, like, I'm not looking for cookie cutters. I want unique individuals that want to make their mark on this world. Just because I might be losing a 6'2" blonde tenor guy who's a senior doesn't mean I'm trying to replace him with a 6'2" tenor. So we really, like, take copious notes. We lock ourselves in that room for hours on end. We don't argue, but we argue our points as to why we feel that this person should be best. And of course, Shiloh, our director of dance, is always like, but their dance score is this. Like, well, all right, but their singing score is this. And then we try and narrow it down. We try and take an even number of students, an even number of, like, men versus women. And then we also, it normally comes down to, like, okay, well, these two people offer a lot of the same things. So we try and make our wait list. But it's interesting because again, if someone's turning me down, that's a 5'10" redhead. I'm not just going to replace them with another 5'10" redhead. I want people with, you know, strong skill sets, like, across the board. So the wait list gets tricky because we sort of look to see. I will say one thing that's super helpful with people on priority hold is keeping in touch with me. You know, like, expressing your interest. You know, like, it's not the time to ghost anyone, I would think. You know, like, please let me know how interested you are, or if you're not interested, if you've accepted another offer somewhere, awesome. My biggest wish is that everyone finds a place, you know. So the priority hold list gets tricky because I caught myself, because we sort of, once we need to go to it, we assess who's still on it, and then we sort of go back and look at the videos again and say, oh my God, you know, like, she's so cool. She's edgy and kind of poppy, and we don't have a lot of people like that yet. So let's take her. So it's sort of, it's done on a case by case basis, sort of, as we. we get to it.
I think that's the hardest thing for the students and the parents to realize is there's no, in most cases, there's no rules to follow on the wait list. There's, or the priority hold list is, you know, there are some schools that have that if that redhead says no, they're looking for the next redhead in line. But it's not necessarily linear. It's not like the wait list, the list, let's call it the list. It's not like the list. It's not like the list has, you're not assigned a number on that list. And the next time your number's up is when you're going. It's not like that. And that's the question I get a lot of times. Like, hey, Tim, could you reach out to Kevin and find out where I am on the wait list?
Sure,
I can ask that question, but I'm not going to get an answer because it depends on who drops ahead of you to see how you fit into that puzzle. You know, they're looking for, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're looking for a diverse group of students that, you know that over the next 4 years, they're going to be able to tackle pretty much any show that you want to throw at them. And that isn't as cut and dry as, you know, number six drops, number seven's in.
It gets very complicated. And last year when the pandemic hit, it got really complicated because we had met the students in person at the auditions. But then as soon as that was over, the back half of recruitment was all virtual, that was tough. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it shakes down. And I try to communicate with anyone who sends me a message efficiently. And I always ask for patience. I'm like, please, about 3 weeks, things are really going to start, we're going to see what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 weeks from now. You know, I think some parents and students think they have to make a decision, but, the federal government, gives you until May 1st to make the decision. Like, no school can pressure you into making a decision before then. Like, sometimes people are like, well, I have to tell this school by today. And I'm like, well, no, you don't actually.
There are some very carefully worded letters that go out. Please let us know by April, whatever, or by March, whatever. Yeah. I saw this year, which I, you don't have to. They want you to because they want to save themselves this hair pulling. But you should never feel rushed by it. And it's May 1st that really everything starts to move very quickly on that wait list.
Yes. And normally by that last week of April, things are moving fairly quickly. There's so many things that these kids have to consider. So, take your time. Make sure the right decision for yourself. You want to make sure that the next 4 years of your life.
Now, I have students that are worried about over communicating and being annoying. One of them is actually on your wait list and is chomping at the bit because they eat, sleep and breathe Shenandoah and they're just waiting to get moved off that wait list. And sure. I said, well, make sure that they know that that they know that, you're not going to be asking for additional financial aid. Make sure that they know that it's going to be a very easy, yes, I'm taking it if it comes through. But they're like, oh, but I don't want to seem like I'm annoying them. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think over communicating is better than under communicating for sure. Like, I'd like to know where you stand, and if I've accepted you, and you know that your heart was set on Michigan, and you got into Michigan, and you're going to Michigan no matter what, please let me know, because then that also sort of starts to open things up, Or if I'm your school, we pretty much had one student say, put me up on the wall. I'm coming, which is great. And the financial aid hasn't even gone out yet. So I think you're never going to annoy me. I understand where you're coming from. I was you once, so I know what it felt like to wait to hear from schools. Yes. Please over communicate.
Right.
Just let me know where you stand. And I will be as honest with you as I can be. And I will, if it looks like it's going to happen, I'll let you know as soon as I can. If it looks like it's really not going to happen, I will also let you know then, because I don't want you to have to be stressed, at the 11th hour either.
It's just as important that they're giving you all the information as it is that you're giving them all the information. So, while they're making that one decision of which of their schools to go to, you're making 18 decisions because you need to fill 18 spots. So you need all that information too. And I try to impart that on the kids as much as possible, but the people running these programs are people just like the students are, and they want that information. So
absolutely.
What kind of what do you look for when you're looking for a student, when you're watching that pre-screen? Or let's talk in terms of pre-screens. When you're watching that pre-screen, who are you looking for that's going to make that first cut to be one of those 375 live auditions?
Sure. Well, I mean, the first obvious things are you singing on pitch? and can you string words together and make a sense? You know, and strangely, Tim, not as easy as you might think with some of these pre-screens. So that's the basic thing. And then I'm looking for sort of people that aren't just, you know, wearing the BFA outfit, or I want people that are like, you know, I want to know who you are. You get a little bit of time to show me who you are. So pick material that you love. You can always spot kids that are singing songs they love over ones that my voice teacher told me to sing this, or my mom told me to sing this. You know, kids that are making kind of interesting, unique choices, I think, as opposed to like, you know, sort of checking off every box they think they have to check off. That's what I look for. People that are taking risks. I want risk takers. I want unique individuals. I want, you know, thank God, I think the word type is going away as we know it. I went, you know, I want it all, but I don't want you to be safe. I want you to be bold. I want you to be daring. If you play the guitar, play it in your pre-screen for me. If you play the piano, play it in your pre-screen for me. Like, if you want to sing that indie rock song that nobody's heard, sing that indie rock song. I mean, the industry is really going in so many different directions. And on the flip side of that, if the golden age is your thing, nobody loves the golden age more than me. So like, do your golden age material. So I just want to see what you're putting your best foot forward. That's what I'm looking for. Right. And then it's also easy when you get past that point, when you actually have the auditions, just know the kids, what I'm looking for is potential. I don't expect anyone to be Broadway ready, whatever that means. You know, I want kids that want to dig deep and want to dive in. Conservatory, as I said, it's 8 a.m. to sometimes 11 p.m. You know, with two meal breaks, you know, you're going for your training. I want people that want to train hard, work hard, and have something to offer besides, you know, just being the sweetest little soprano in the world. Like, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's true. You want to stand out. I mean, absolutely. And those are the kids that get seen. So be yourself. And I couldn't agree with you more.
I always say you are far more interesting than what you think we want you to be. So I just want to see your true, authentic self, right? I mean, yeah.
When you mentioned if wearing that BFA dress gosh, one more burgundy wrap dress at Unified, I was going to start kicking these girls in the shins. But I get it.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Absolutely. All right, so tell us what's coming up. You mentioned quite a few things that are coming up at Shenandoah, but what does the fall look like for incoming freshmen?
The fall?
COVID?
Really?
Performances? Everything.
The fall, well, this year we did everything virtually, obviously. I just spent 20 hours, 10 hours on a Friday and 10 hours on a Saturday or Thursday and Friday, I can't remember the days. We filmed a version of the last 5 years but with two different casts. We went through all sorts of COVID, you know, measures to make sure that they were safe and quarantined and negative tested. And then we filmed it, and that'll be coming out on our website probably at the beginning of April. You'll be able to stream that, two different casts. But the plan we just learned last week is that it seems like it's full steam ahead in the fall with live performances. Shenandoah has been very lucky. Our area has, you know, not been hit. I mean, every area has been hit, but we've been very lucky. Our university has been very diligent about protocols and procedures. We don't know if it will be 100% capacity, but we're going to go on the estimation that it'll at least be 35 or 40% live audiences, live performances. We're planning, we just had a season planning meeting the other day. We have picked our titles. We're just waiting on rights and things before we release that. But as of right now, all classes will be in person. There will be some that will be offered with a sort of flexible schedule, but I don't foresee that happening with dance classes or acting classes. Voice lessons to be determined, I think, as we learn more from the CDC. But the idea is that fully on campus in the fall is right now, knock on wood.
Great. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I know this is the busiest time of year for you and for me. So it's really great to sit down and chat with you a little bit more. This is a great opportunity for the kids to get to know your program directly from you.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the idea of getting you and some of your students here. So let's make that happen.
Let's do it.
I'll get you here from Dulles and I'll do this anytime. I think it's so important. I think it's so important what you're doing. So keep doing what you're doing. The kids are lucky to have you.
Oh, thanks so much, Kevin. Looking forward to having you in for some workshops again soon. But great. Thanks so much again. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.